Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our teleclass. Tonight's class, we're going to be talking about children and how important children are and what we can do for them. So what we want to do tonight is just let's have some straight talk. And when we think about it, if we want to produce a child that's an Einstein, a Mozart, a Michael Jordan, think how hard that would be if your child is sleeping on the desk all day, or if they just run down, or they're tired all the time, they're overweight, they can't work out, they can't run with the other kids. It's really hard to get ahead when your body is bogged down. If your body is toxic, if you have heavy metals inside your body or other chemicals in your body that don't allow everything to function properly, now your body can't function the way it can, and you'll never reach their full potential. So as parents, we definitely want to provide the best opportunities for our kids. We want them to grow to their fullest potential and be able to do whatever they choose to do. We also want them to have a clear mind so they can make better choices. There's no doubt, it's absolutely true, that sick people make sick choices. So if you have a child who is not functioning at a high enough level, then they might be the ones who start smoking. They might be the ones who start taking drugs. They might be the ones who just make poorer choices than they would if everything is running the way it should. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to have everything set up so your children will do the best and be the best that they can be. So when we start this, just think about for yourself. If I asked you the question, what do you value most in life? What is the most important thing to you? Most of us, certainly most of us who have children might say, well, it's my family. That I'll do pretty much anything for my family. And then other people might say, well, you know, my family's grown up and gone, or I don't have any kids. The most important thing for me is performance. I'm an athlete. I want to be able to perform at the highest level possible. Other people might say, I want to be able to have a great money-earning capacity. I want to be very successful in business or at work, and that's the most important thing to me. Others might say something like, I just want to be happy. That's the most important thing. I just want to be happy. If you think about whatever it is for you, just think about how hard is it to get that if you don't have your health? How hard is it to be a great parent if you yourself are tired all the time, have headache, have low back pain, and can't do things with the kids, can't go out and play with the kids, run around with them? You drop them off skiing instead of skiing with them. So many people say those things that yet they'll say, my kids are my most important thing, my family's my most important thing, but they don't take care of themselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help our children. We're not a good example for our children if we don't take care of ourselves either. So when the plane is going down, the pilot says, put the oxygen on you first, then put it on your child. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be around, or you're not going to be conscious to put it on your child. So we have to take care of ourselves first. Now, with that in mind, think about how important it is to tell that and express that to our kids. That when you ask generally people, and when I'm talking to you right now as adults, when we ask adults, what's the most important thing in your life? Very few people say their health. But when you think about whatever it is they do say, it's almost unattainable without health. Almost unattainable. So health really needs to be really high on the list. It needs to be number one. Without it, all the rest suffer, much, much harder to do. So if we can reinforce that in our kids, if we can create that consciousness in our kids that the healthier they stay, then they can do more. They're more free. Health brings freedom, without a doubt. So many people that can't walk, they have artificial knees, artificial hips, they have ailments, they have all these things and they can't function, they're not free. They're not free to go and do things that other people who can do those things can do. So as our health declines, we lose freedoms. We lose opportunities. So instilling that in our kids right out of the gate and teaching them the reason you want to eat right isn't just because we want you to eat right. It's because it's going to make a big difference on every single part of your life. How well you play sports, how much you enjoy it, how happy you are, how clearly you think, how well you sleep, how well you keep weight off. So by teaching them to eat right rather than just not to eat wrong, lots of times we'll tell our kids, well, don't eat junk food, but they don't know why you're telling them that. I mean, junk food tastes pretty good to them sometimes. So it's important that if they get a real understanding, a real cognition of why do we want to be healthy. And if we do that right away, I mean, you know what? When kids are young, really, really young, we teach them to wash regularly. That's just something we do as soon as they can understand. We teach them, wash your hands after you go to the bathroom, you know, and take a bath. Baths are good. Showers are good. And we teach them that. We teach them to brush their teeth and take care of their teeth right away. Because if they don't, they're going to decay. What happens if someone doesn't brush their teeth for 30 years, then says, you know what, all of a sudden I'm health-oriented. I'm going to start brushing my teeth. Well, it's probably too late. It takes a long time for them to decay, and you need to take care of them right away. So we teach our kids to wash. We teach our kids to brush their teeth. But we seldom take time to teach our kids about being healthy. We're frequently not a good example for them. But even if we were, we don't really teach that. We don't really, you know, embed that as a real major factor that you've got to be able to take care of yourself so that you will be able to do all these things later on. So teaching them how to eat correctly for the right reasons, teaching them how to do whatever they have to do for the right reasons, very, very important. So let's move on. That's the first part we wanted to talk about, is just instilling that mindset for us and for our kids that health is by far the highest priority. No matter what we want to do in life, health is the highest priority. Next thing we want to talk about is exactly what is health, because a lot of people think health is feeling good. And when I ask pretty much anybody, no matter how big the audience is, I've spoken in front of 2,000 people, they say, what is your definition of health? Almost right away, people say it's feeling good. And feeling good is fine, but feeling good and being good are not the same. So if I ask you how your health is and you say, I'm fine, I feel fine, that's great, but you don't feel your liver detoxifying. You don't feel hormones being created. You don't feel all those chemical reactions taking place in your body. The effect of those, however, are very real. So people that have anxiety, mood swing, bipolar disorder, they have all these conditions. They don't have pain necessarily, but their life can be a train wreck. So our health is a big part of it, and we don't feel a lot of that. So the definition of true health is having all of our tissues and organs running at 100% all of the time. We don't want them running at 50% or at 40% because now they're not able to keep up with the demand. If we go up a set of stairs and your heart is only working at 40%, that's not a good sign. If you have to go up too many stairs, you may not make it to the top. So we want everything functioning all the time. So when I say functioning, I'm talking about every organ, every chemical reaction, everything taking place at 100%. We have our brain, which thoughts occur and coordinate everything in our body. And then we have the body with all the organs and tissues, and the connection between the brain and the body. The carrier of the messages is the spinal cord and the nervous system. Research has shown that the spinal cord and the nervous system are intimate, and they have to be functioning at 100%, or whatever those nerves go to won't function. Something that you might want to look at is when we're alive, we have a power inside of us that we don't have when we die. And that seems very, very obvious that there's a difference between a living person and a dead person, but the truth is the only difference is that when we're alive, that power is on, and when we die, that power is off. When you think about it, when we're alive, we have chemical reactions taking place, we have processes taking place, tissue building, we have energy formation, we have detoxifying, we have all kinds of things happening all at the same time. The moment we die, the moment that power is shut off, all of those things stop. A scientist would look at that and say, well, why does everything stop? How come not just this part stops or just that part stops? Why does everything stop right away at the moment that you die? Why does that happen? And the reason is that power is what gives us life. That power is life, and that's what gives us life. Power has a lot of different names. You might call it the soul, the spirit, innate intelligence, God, inner wisdom. Science calls it the mental impulse. Chiropractors call it innate intelligence, which means inner wisdom. So whether you call it inner wisdom, innate intelligence, or the spirit or God, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about. When that power is there, we are alive, and when it's not there, we're not alive. Now, if that person that just died on the way to the floor cuts themselves, that cut will never heal. You can put any drug on it. You can put any vitamin on it. That cut will never heal because that life force not only gives us life, it also is what heals us. keeping that in mind, very, very important to understand that all of these things have to function all the time. That life force has to be able to get to all of the tissues all of the time. Dr. Sue at the University of Colorado found that the weight of a dime, the pressure on a nerve, the weight of a dime will cut that nerve supply by 60%. That means that nerve is now going to function at 40% if there's the weight of a dime on it. That's not very much. So if we think about the things we do in life, in children, the birth process itself, we can be born with misalignments certainly big enough to cause pressure, the weight of a dime on a nerve root. So imagine a child is playing in the playground, and he's just playing on a gym set and on a jungle gym, and he falls maybe a foot, foot and a half, something, lands somewhere on the middle of his back, and he misaligns one of the vertebrae in their spine, in his spine, just enough to cause the nerve that goes to the pancreas not to function. Now all of a sudden, or down the road a short time, his pancreas is only functioning at 40%, he becomes diabetic. Because he's a child, he'll be diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic. And the doctor will say, he's not producing insulin, his pancreas isn't working, and he's not old enough to be type 2. They diagnose him as a type 1. This child winds up on an insulin pump for 30 years just because no one ever checked to see if that power was on, to see if the life force was flowing to that organ. Because in our healthcare system, they don't look for things like that. They look for the result. There's not enough insulin, we'll give you some. Rather than saying, well, wait a minute, there's not enough insulin, why is that? Let's turn that organ back on. And that is very possible to do, is turn it back on. So checking the nervous system, because we don't feel most of it, is vitally important. Having the life force flowing in our body, having everything running at 100%, that's what true health is. It's not just feeling good. How long can you have cancer but feel good and not even know? So many people will go a long time, they'll be diagnosed, and then they'll die a few weeks later. And the average, by the way, is 4 to 6 weeks after diagnosis right now. So they didn't just get cancer when they were diagnosed. They've had it for a long time, many times, years, but you don't feel it at all. You don't feel diabetes. You don't feel thyroid. We don't feel most of those things because they don't cause pain, but they happen and they devastate our body. So getting your nervous system checked regularly and keeping spinal health to keep it working is very, very important. Another big concern we want to look at is toxins. Toxins are now around us, in us, on us, everywhere. The toxins, I'm talking about heavy metals, and heavy metals can affect so many different, cause so many different symptoms in our body. Heavy metals are things like mercury, lead, cadmium, and then you have other metals that we actually need in our body like copper, nickel, and zinc, but in high levels or higher levels, they actually become toxic. So when we look at the worst three, the mercury, lead, and cadmium, those metals have been directly associated with autism, Asperger's, ADD, ADHD. They find that they're associated with memory loss, increased allergies, blood pressure, depression, mood swings, irritability, poor concentration, aggressive behavior. And I'm reading this whole list off to you because I want you to understand it's connected to everything. It causes sleep disabilities, fatigue, speech disorders, cholesterol, triglycerides, vascular occlusion, which is blockages, causes nerve damage, autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue, and those are just a few of the things that happen. So where do we get heavy metals? We get them from the earth, and now that they use metals are in the earth, now that they use those metals for manufacturing, they put them in foods, there are metals in underarm deodorant, there's almost everything has some in it somewhere, but toxic metals, what they do in our body is our body needs certain minerals, and those minerals have particular binding sites that they function in. When we get toxic metals in our body, heavy metals in our body, what happens is they kick out those nutritional metals and nutrients that we need, and they take the binding spot. Well, when that happens enough, you no longer have the right binding spot. You don't get the right metal in there or nutrient in there. Now that causes havoc in our body. But it's been heavily documented that there's a high level of heavy metal toxicity in children with autistic spectrum disorders. There's evidence that some children with autistic spectrum build up more toxins in these metals because they have a hard time excreting them. And that can be from a number of things. So, and we'll talk about that in a second. So autism and all these things we talked about need to be looked at. Why do these kids have that? Where do they get that from? And they get it from foods. It's in toys, paint on the toys. We hear about all these toys from China and how they have heavy metals in the paint. So we need to take a look at what are we going to do about that? How are we going to keep it to a minimum? And what do we do about it once they get it? Some of the places that we get metals from, in vaccines still have a high amount of metals, including mercury. There's still mercury in flu shots. Flonase, which doesn't have mercury in it, has aluminum in it, and aluminum binds those sites. There's mercury in fillings. There's mercury in just regular light bulbs, fluorescent light bulbs, and if they break, that mercury becomes available for us to breathe in, draw in through the skin, and just have in our bodies. So what are we going to do about that? Well, first of all, we need to find out, do we have metals in our body? Most of us do, but how much do we have? Interesting thing you might want to know is that the government allows 20 units of mercury in our body. They say that 20 units is a safe amount. Research shows that for every unit of mercury we have in our body, because it's zero, it's supposed to be zero, for every unit we have, IQ will drop 1 percentage point for every unit of mercury. But the government thinks 20 is okay. So that's the difference between having an IQ of 120 and 100. That's a big, big difference. So we say that 20 is not okay. Zero is what we want in there. So some of the ways we get rid of these toxins is through something we to find out, first of all, is hair analysis. With a hair analysis, hair is a protein history of what's been going on in our body. Hair analysis is you cut off some hair, send it to a laboratory, and they look at it and they analyze it, and they can tell how much of each metal that we have. So it's an inexpensive way to tell, and it's relatively repeatable. The problem some people have with hair analysis is that if I sent the same hair from the same person to the same lab, I would get a little bit different reports. One would say you might have 0.8 lead, the other might say you have 0.6 lead, which is totally acceptable. They both show you have high lead. So they show trends. So we don't rest a lot of weight on the actual number. We're looking at trends. I have high this, high that, or low something, because that is very repeatable. And that same process, by the way, is true in any diagnostic testing. I mean, how many times have you had a diagnostic test that was positive and the doctor said, you know what, we're going to do it again just to make sure? Because nothing, no testing, no blood work, no urine test is 100%. So if you get a positive, you want to make sure it's a positive and not just a bad lab result. So hair analysis is a good way to tell if we have heavy metals. There's now a very simple urine test that can be done when the urine is mixed with a certain chemical with a paper strip in it that has other chemicals on it. Different metals show up based on what color changes. That's something we can do right in our office, and that's the easiest way to test for heavy metals. It also shows which is the most that you have most of. If we have more than one heavy metal, it shows which is most of. So that's something that we do, and we'll be talking about a little bit in a few minutes. Kids are the most susceptible to heavy metals, and it can cause them to become overweight, because it blocks their thyroid, causes anxiety, sleep problems, headaches, digestive problems. So it's very, very important to test for that and to test for the nervous system to keep it running. If the nervous system is running at a high enough level, we're generally able to excrete toxins and heavy metals. But if the nervous system is only running at 40% because of some pressure on the nerve, now those things stay in our body. Once the toxins get in our body, they get stored in our body and really create havoc. There's a lot of information on this on Dr. Mercola's website, and there's a lot of it on official websites of heavy metal toxins if you want to read more about it. I have 20 urine test kits that we have at our office, and for those of you on the call tonight, for the first 20 who would like to have it done, we will do the urine test for heavy metal on your children at no charge. And we're doing that because it's just an important thing to check. The test is usually $65, but we'll do it at no charge because this is just an important thing, and this is Kids Month at our office. At the same time, we'll do a nerve test, a computerized testing that we can read how much power is coming from the nerves, how strong that life force is, and how well it's running. We'll be able to test that. So if the heavy metal test comes back negative, then we can be able to tell what else is going on that might be causing your child's problem. So these are the things we want to leave you with today with this presentation. We want you to understand that, and we need to take a look also at how much trauma children go through when they're growing up. The average toddler, when they're learning how to walk, falls 200 to 300 times a day learning how to walk. Now, if an adult fell 200 to 300 times a day, even if you did it on purpose, by the end of the day, you probably have broken something, or something is going to be very sore. Also, look at how the younger we are, how disproportionate the head is compared to the rest of the body. So you have this really big head on this little tiny neck, and when they fall, when they tumble, when they do sports, when they fall at gymnastics, when they get checked playing soccer and hockey, even though it's non-checking games at those ages, they still get hit, they still fall down, they still slip on the ice and land on very, very hard ice. Kids playing football, Pop Warner kids are 8 years old. Their head is still really big proportionately to their body. You put a helmet on it, it makes it even bigger and heavier, and they line them up and run them into each other. Then they blow the whistle and line them up and run them into each other again. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't stop the kids from doing it, but I would absolutely check them to make sure that they didn't cause damage that week. So hopefully you've got some good information out of this. Real important that you instill health principles, health reasoning to your kids, just by an everyday conversation, just by your examples, just like they teach them you teach them how to brush their teeth, you teach them how to wash, you want to teach them about health. Make them aware. We want our children living consciously. Just because all the other kids are drinking soda and just because all the other kids are eating junk all the time doesn't mean our kids want to choose that if we teach them properly. There's no doubt there's a massive amount of temptation out there, but if they understand why they're doing what they're doing, they have a much better chance of keeping it all to a minimum. So we're going to wrap this up. Remind you that if you want, for the first 20 of you who would like to have the heavy metal testing done, you can call our office at 978-957-5585 to have the testing done, and we will do a spinal check at the same time. So hope this was beneficial for you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you next time.